It's time. It's time to open your eyes. It's time to open your mind. It's time to grow up and face reality. It's time to lock and load because it's Meat Trapper time. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 218 of Meat Trapper Radio. We have a lot of ground to cover tonight. A lot. So you may want to settle in. This may be a little bit longer than normal episode. And hopefully there's nothing wrong with that. But I want to start by thanking our sponsor, Mr. Brian McKee of SouthernSnares.com. We are getting close to trapping time, and if there's anything that you still need, any baits, lures, snares, snare components, traps, you name it, give SouthernSnares.com a try, because we all stand together, or we will hang separately, that's for sure. And Brian is he's the only guy willing to step up and associate his name with the material on this show, which at times can be a little bit controversial. But I would like to also thank all of the new Patreon members. I want each and every one of you to know I truly appreciate your support. It means a lot to me. And in just a few minutes, you're going to hear an example of exactly what your funds are going to purchase and what they do. Because it's not me, it is us. And we are in this together. Well, we're going to talk about some viewer mail, some listener mail. We've got some questions. I've got a very, very interesting story from Croatia to share with you. And the Patreon members, you don't know it, but you have already sent some snares and other materials to a gentleman in Croatia. Just keep that in mind. We are always doing things like that. But the first thing I want to do is I want to there's a question that I get very often. I want to talk about this. And in a way, I feel like I'm guilty of causing some of these problems. I feel like I'm responsible for some of this. But I got an email and it said, thanks to you, my son and I trapped our first beaver yesterday morning using a 330. A farmer friend has nuisance beavers tearing up his corn and asked me to help him. We set 5 330s and connected on one big boy coming up out of the field dragging a ton of corn stalks behind him. The Belisle 330 worked great, set up just like you showed in your vids, but I want to try snaring as it seems faster and safer. Do you think the Southern Snares Basic 2 snare is a good go-to snare for beaver and coon? It has a smoothie lock, which I've not heard you talk about, and at least I don't think I have, and is it as good as the micro lock? So in other words, I get variations of this question all of the time, and what's behind this is people have seen my videos where I go into great detail about the different types of cable, the different types of locks, how to tune your locks, which type of swivels to use, et cetera, and how I get everything all set up and I get everything loaded. And I think that sort of gives the impression that you have to get real fancy to snare. And nothing could be further from the truth, I can promise you that. So what I did is I responded to him and I pointed him to a little bit more basic of a snare, a snare that was 48 inches in length, 7x7, 3/32-inch cable, and had a SureLock on it or whatever. It basically is just what I call a POS, plain old snare. Okay, about as plain Jane as you can get. And with that plain Jane snare, if you know what you're doing, you can snare, coon, fox, coyote, small hogs. You could snare a deer. So there's a broad range of things, beaver, what have you. So there's a lot that you could snare with just the plain basic snare. So why do I go off the deep end a lot of times on the specifics? Well, it just comes down to where after you've been doing something for a while, whether it's driving, whether it's shooting, whether it's cooking, or anything that you do, gardening, you end up finding out sort of what works best for you in your area with the animals that you're trapping. And then if you get into ADC work where money is involved, then time becomes money, and you can't afford to have an animal escape or chew out or miss a catch or what have you. And so you end up getting deeper and deeper and more specific and more specific. But that's down the road after you get started. What is far, far more important than what type of cable or what type of lock or what type of swivel is being able to locate where the game is moving and put the snare in the right spot at the right time and making a good solid set. And by that I mean having a set that's not wobbly, that the only thing that's going to move is the snare loop when it fires. Your support is solid, it's in a right spot where it's narrowed down naturally, and you're not, building a giant fence to try and force the animal through a snare, and things like that. So, if you're just getting started in snaring, don't sweat the details. Don't sweat the small stuff. Just go to a reputable maker, manufacturer like Brian at Southern Snares. Get some basic snares and don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call him and tell him where you're at and what you want to snare, because everybody's laws are going to be different. There's the law of latitude. Animals are bigger up north than they are down south. If somebody emails me and says, what do I need to snare a coon? Well, are you in Florida or are you in Wisconsin? That's a big difference right there. So you got to think about that. And what are the laws? It doesn't hurt to pick up the phone and call and be as specific as possible. But the bottom line and the point on this is, concentrate on the fundamentals. Remember that snaring is almost an art and not a science. And you've got to be able to look at that trail that animal's traveling. You've got to know something about the animal's habits, and then hang that loop in the right spot at the right height. And if you do that, it really doesn't matter if you're using 7x7 cable or 1x19. It doesn't matter if you're using a cam lock or a slim lock. It doesn't really matter if you're using a barrel swivel or a snare swivel. It doesn't really matter if you're using a 48-inch snare or a 60-inch snare. All of that stuff is secondary. And, just focus on the basics, and you'll be just fine. So, hopefully that's enough about that, and that covers that. And I think that applies to a lot of endeavors, not just snaring, but trapping with footholds, trapping with conibears, and even hunting. You have all these people that hand load ammunition and shoot wildcat calibers and, have scent lock clothing and all of that. But if you just have a basic deer rifle, a 30-30 or a 243, you pattern the deer, you play the wind right, you're gonna be successful, by concentrating on the fundamentals. So now I had an email exchange with a gentleman in Croatia that I thought was interesting on a number of levels, and I want to share some of this with you. This guy's name is Ernesto, and he emailed me, said, commented on one of my videos, says, "Thank you a lot. I learned a lot from this video. My grandfather was a trapper here in Croatia." Now, if you're not familiar with Croatia, Croatia is part of the former Yugoslavia over in Eastern Europe. And after the fall of the Soviet Union, they broke apart, and there was a multi-year war. It was an extremely bloody war between the Serbs, the Croats, the Muslims, and the Slovenes broke away and made their way pretty quickly. Croatia saw a lot of problems. They went through a lot. But he says his grandfather was a trapper in Croatia. He said, "I own an orchard, and there are a lot of abandoned vineyards which are breeding grounds for boars and badgers, and we have a huge explosion in their population. They are destroying our crops, and nobody is compensating for the damage. Rich hunters do not want to exterminate them. They bring other hunters from the EU to kill trophy game, and they earn on it. Badger is rarely hunted, but it makes damage. For hunting license, you need to pay 1,000 euros a year, and that is my monthly salary, and I barely live with that. I plan to hunt on badgers and boars which go on my property. I do not care because some bureaucrat says I cannot do that. It is my God-given right. I want to fill my fridge and have boar meat for my family. Badgers, I just want to reduce their numbers. Thank you, sir, so much. I support you. You have awakened a trapper in Croatia." There are a couple of things here. You can see nobody's helping the little guy over there, of course, just like here. But his hunting license would be 1,000 euros a year, which that's over $1,000 a year. Now, I want you to think about that. $1,000 a year. you think your hunting license is expensive. Yeah, think about that. Of course, he's priced completely out of the market. He's sitting there. His orchard is getting overrun and tore up. He can't legally do anything about it. He can't afford it. And so, they create a criminal. It's the same modus operandi all over. And if you're not familiar with that part of the world, I've seen some home videos of game wardens in Eastern Europe, and they're nothing but armed militia thugs on the payroll of the powers that be. Now, what I mean by that is, he was talking about rich hunters, okay? In other words, you've got wealthy people, and they may run a town or an area, sort of like here in the United States. You have the influential people. Well, they will lease all the land and lock everybody else out of any land access or hunting. There's no opportunity to hunt. And if somebody does go in there and start poaching game, they get the local law enforcement to come down on them like a ton of bricks. And I've seen some of these raids where they're in full special forces gear, AK-47s, and they're coming through the woods, on full auto. It's incredible to watch. It's really a different world. And so I decided to correspond with this guy a little bit, and we got to talking. And the more he talked, the more I realized I had to do something to help him, that I couldn't just let this email go. And so that's where the Patreon members and their pledges come in, because I want you to know where your money goes. So I offered to send him some material, some goods, because he didn't have any, couldn't buy any. He explained to me, he said, "Snares are not being produced in Croatia for two reasons. Our cable factory that produced high-quality cable has been destroyed by the cheap import of Chinese stuff. And by the law, it is illegal to own snares or traps. It is not illegal to own snares or traps, but if you're caught using them, you're considered a poacher. If I use snares on my property for procuring food, the boar, or destroying pests, the badger, I do not care about any law, because I believe that I am a God-created human being with God-given right to hunt for food for my family. For badgers, I plan to use 1.2mm cable. I obtained 10 meters of Croatian old stock cable. I will make 3 snares. I will make the lock from copper washers and stoppers from nuts heated in a can. I learned all of this from you. Thank you so much for sharing the knowledge. It is the biggest gift one man can give to another, to teach a man how to provide food for his family. I have taken my grandpa's traps from the attic. I have attached photo, and I will clean them and put them on the wall to display for my kids to see. I cannot understand how did they work since there is no mechanism on them. Dad says that he recalls they had some wooden board with some kind of mechanism, but he doesn't recall since he was 7 years old when he saw Grandpa using them. Now, there's a lot here to digest. I want you to think about the fact that he went to a lot of trouble to obtain 10 meters of aircraft cable. 30 feet of aircraft cable. He's planning on making 3 snares. 3 snares. And he's going to have to make all of the materials himself. There's no going out and buying a snare lock. There's no going out and buying aluminum ferrules. So he's got to make all of the materials himself. And if you could see the traps, he had 3 traps that belonged to his grandfather, and they're old long springs that are rusted, and there's no base plate, there's no pan. I mean, it's nothing but a frame. And I've seen these before, and you can go on my YouTube channel, and there's a video I did called An Amazing Trap Collection, where there and the guy that had the trap collection had some old traps, beaver traps, that were made by Soviet prisoners in the gulags. And they look exactly like this. They had no base plates, and they would end up, sometimes they would use fabric to try and weave a base plate on the trap. Sometimes they use wood. Sometimes they just crisscross wires back and forth. I mean, it was incredible, you know, what these guys were using. So anyway, what I did is I put together a little care package. I put together a variety of small game snares, general purpose, you know, 7x7 3/32 inch snares, and then a couple of super heavy duty southern snares, hog snares, made out of the 1/8 inch cable with the cam locks and all of that, and the number 12 barrel swivels, and dropped that in the mail. And of course, it takes a lot of time and effort to do all of that, because you've got to go to the post office and fill out the custom form and all of that kind of crap, you know. And it ends up costing $40 to send a small box over there. But the reason that I mention all of this is twofold. Number one, I want the Patreon members to know where your funds are going and what you're doing for other people. But number two, I want you to see the reality that most of the people on this planet have. You can get on the internet, you can get on your telephone, and you can order 5,000 feet of the highest quality cable available. You can order hundreds of snare locks. You can order thousands of double ferrules. You can order a lifetime supply of snare parts and cable. And other people are scrounging for 30 feet of cable, and they're having to anneal their own nuts in a tin can. They're having to cut their own snare locks. You really are fortunate, and there is absolutely no excuse for not being prepared. No excuse whatsoever. And even if you're not a trapper, there's no reason for you to not go buy a half a dozen number two double long spring Sleepy Creeks. There's no reason to not buy a half a dozen 330 Bridgers. You know, there's no reason to not have some basic traps. Just hang them on the wall, stick them in the garage, because you never know when you're going to need them. And you may just end up in a situation where you need something that you cannot get. Now, one last listener email to close out this side of the show. But last time we had some input from Ken about using honey as a natural antibacterial and using golden seal. He talked about golden seal. And that sort of sparked some interest, and so I got the following email that I wanted to share with you. And it said, great episode. I look forward to hearing more from Ken regarding honey and golden seal. I've been a follower for a very long time and have waited a long time to hear this come up. I should have mentioned it myself at some point, but I'm by no means an expert on the matter. Now let me just stop right there. This is another very common thing that I hear all the time, and that is, I'm no expert. And you know what? Nobody is an expert. Nobody. I hate that term. I get that term at work a lot. You know, oh, so you're the expert on this. Like, nope. I've just done it a lot before. You know, anybody that tells you they're an expert, I don't know about that. And if something has been on your mind for a long time, record a segment, write an email like this, step up to the plate and put it out there. And, you know, I guarantee you, if it's been on your mind, it's on somebody else's mind who's also listening. So don't be bashful. So he continues, I've dug golden seal for a long time, but only recently began using it myself for health purposes. It's funny, these two items came up in the same episode, as I've always had severe sinus issues, and I'm a candidate for the sinus cavity surgery, which I have never done and don't plan on doing. The behind-the-counter sinus medicine and allergy medicine were a daily necessity for me for a long time. I've been completely off both for about a year now. On one hand, I can count my use of sinus medicine in the last year. These times have been when I'm on the road traveling. I dig my own golden seal and dry it. It only takes a couple of dry roots to make a tea that I use for my sinus and allergy issues. Two or three crushed roots thrown into about 12 ounces of hot water, not quite boiling. I let this steep about 10 minutes and then add two teaspoons of raw, unfiltered honey. This helps with the bitterness as well as adding health benefits. My immune system has been rock solid since I began this. During mowing season or springtime, I may have to drink this twice a week. Otherwise, it's once a week or just when I start to feel the crud coming on. People should be aware that this is one bitter drink, but not near as bad as your typical gag medicine from the store. It's also worth noting that this is a great way to make a couple extra dollars by spending time in the woods. In my area, golden seal is currently going for $50 a pound dry. I am using a pound bag that I kept for myself last year when prices were $55 a pound. I haven't even put a dent in this bag for my own purposes this year. That one bag took me about 30 minutes to dig last year. A decent patch could yield a couple dry pounds in a couple of hours. Not a bad return on your day in the woods hiking. Anyway, people should do their own research. If you haven't already, look into this, as the area that you're in should have plenty growing. Hope this email finds you well. Et cetera, et cetera. And so I thought that was a great email. And there is a, if you're interested in what golden seal is, what it looks like and where it grows, you can get on YouTube. There's a lot of videos on it. And basically people dig it up and use the roots. They dry the roots. It's sort of like ginseng, basically. It has a lot in common in, as far as where it grows and all of that. And a couple of things that I had been aware of is that, you know, Indians used a lot of these materials. And one of the things they used golden seal for was they mixed it with bear fat to repel insects, sort of like an insect repellent. In modern times, the medical industry has done a lot of studies on golden seal and the active ingredients in the roots. And they found without a doubt, I mean, it's absolute proven medical fact that the stuff reduces cholesterol, it reduces lipid accumulations in blood plasma, as well as the liver. So it's got a lot going for it, you know. And this is stuff that, you know, like he says, you can go out and, as you're hiking through the woods, have your head on a swivel, be looking for this stuff. And it, you know, we talked about it last, I think it was the last episode or the episode before, we were talking about foraging. Barry did a segment on being flexible in your foraging. And that's one thing when I'm out paddling or hiking, I'm always making notes, always looking. You know, when I see mushrooms, you know, if it's a chicken of the woods, if it's chanterelles, you know, if it's oyster mushrooms, I'm making a note. This is a good place for that. You know, as I stop and harvest the mushrooms, you know, when I see plants, you know, even areas where there's curly dock growing, you know, which you can use as greens, I make a mental note. Okay. And this wet area over here, it's always a good place to find dock. When I come across ponds or wet areas, if I'm there at dusk and I hear bullfrogs, I'm filing that away. This is a good area for frogs. When being a trapper, when I'm looking at tracks, you know, are deer using this area? Is this a hog area? You know, am I looking at hog sign here? All of that. You know, when I'm out paddling and I get up in the shallows and the carp are up in the shallows, I'm making mental notes. Which one of these little bays, which one of these little inlets would be a good place for a gill net? You know, what is the current like? What is the water like? Is it too shallow? Is it too deep? You know, what's the human foot traffic around? What's the boat traffic like? Is this an area that, you know, the yuppies are going to stumble down and stumble up on you? Or is this some place that nobody really has a reason to go? And you need to be doing that. You need to be thinking that way. And you need to be thinking, how can you get in? How can you get out? And how can you do stuff unobserved? Because I'll be honest with you, even when something is 100% totally upfront legal, I have all the licenses, all the permits, I've got all the special permissions, I've got the note from the hall monitor and you know, a note from the teacher and it's signed in triplicate. Even when I've got everything covered, I don't like people knowing what I'm doing because it's none of their damn business. They don't need to know what I'm harvesting. They don't need to know how I'm harvesting it. It's of no concern to theirs. It's none of their business. And the less people know, the better off you are. And that doesn't mean that you're up to anything illegal. Doesn't mean you have anything to hide. It's just, you know, ain't none of their business. All right, so on the second half of tonight's show, we've got some great feedback on the 22 stuff from Joe. Joe's got a great segment here, and as always, he's just straight to the point, just laying it out, you know, just laying down the tough love and the facts. And I always appreciate that. Everybody likes honesty. Let's see, and then we've got some other things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about buying a new gun versus reconditioning an older one. The cost benefit analysis on all of that, the pluses and minuses to each one. And then finally, I'm going to end the show with some YouTube channel survival strategies, because it's open war on conservatives. It's open season on conservatives on Twitter, on YouTube. And there are some very, very interesting strategies that conservatives are now using on YouTube to get their content out there and avoid the YouTube censors. So anyway, if you are a Patreon member, stay tuned. And if you're not, I'd like to urge you to consider becoming one. We've had a bunch of people sign up lately. Thank you all very much. And you can, if you're interested to take a look, just see what it's about, you can go to patreon.com/meattrapper and check it out. If you have any questions, let me know. Thanks for listening, and Patreon members, stay tuned. We'll see you in just a few minutes here. I'm not